episode 13. We're back and Rob is back. Welcome back, Rob.
I'm back.
All right. We thought it might be interesting to chat about brands and sort of the desire to break through the clutter, right? Breaking through the noise, right? We always get a lot of briefs here at the office. We talk a lot about it in advertising history. We talk about it in design history, the sort of the concept of breaking through the noise. Everybody says they want it, but do they really want it?
Do they really want it?
That's the question.
I think they want it, but then they're scared of it.
Yes, exactly.
Because, as we all know, with risk comes reward. And so, yeah, when we that happens here a lot. We do. We get, I would say most everybody says that they, or at least 75% of the clients say, hey, we want to do something totally different.
Yes.
We want to zag
stand out
when everyone zigs.
Correct.
We want to
correct.
Zig when everyone zags. We want to stand out. We want to break through the clutter, all the other words, the noise.
Buzzwords.
Which we love. It's great to hear. But a lot of times we do that.
Correct.
as instructed.
Yeah.
And then when we show them some of these things, regardless of tactic, they get scared really quickly.
Yes.
Very, very nervous.
Absolutely.
Because I think the gut is to go, well, wait a minute. I think maybe they automatically think about their competitive set and
yes.
go, well, wait a second.
Nobody else is doing that.
There's got to be a reason nobody else is
for
doing
sure.
that. And they get scared to do that.
Yeah. Well, sometimes I think you can define creativity not by giving it an analogy to something else, right? If something truly is creative, it should make you nervous, right?
Right.
Because it's not like what anybody else is out there doing, right? But the history books tell us that, you know, all of the crazy, wacky, zany ideas that get poo-pooed on from upper management, from a design, or whatever the case may be, sometimes, you know, end up becoming the world's biggest success stories.
Right.
You know, from a product design perspective, I'm reminded of the when VW relaunched the Bug, right, mm-hmm. like 20 years ago or something like that. That kept getting shot down. And I believe that design team, I mean, again, we're talking like industrial design now, but I believe that design team worked at nights and weekends and did all sorts of stuff, right? And just kept, you know, flying the good flag to try to get it through. And then turns out, boom, you know, Herman Miller, that
right.
Aeron chair, you
right.
know, another great example of, now those are both product designs though.
It's a great chair. I sit in one today.
I sit in one as well. I have for like 20 years. But remember, that was like, oh my God, you're going to show the exoskeleton. You know, it was a wacky, weird looking thing at the
right.
time that was very unlike anything else, right? So I think when we get briefs of, hey, we really want something that's different, you know, that nobody else is doing, but then it's, oh no, I'm scared because
right.
nobody else is doing it, right?
Yeah. If we think about product design too, I think about the example and we've all heard the story, but it's worth mentioning because it's so simple. But it's when Heinz turned the ketchup bottle upside down.
Yes.
Let's let gravity be our friend, people.
Absolutely.
When I was little, my father used to say all the time to me a little rhyme, and it went like this.
Oh, boy.
Shake and shake the ketchup bottle. None will come, and then a lot'll. Perhaps that was part of the inspiration. No, but I don't remember what the story was, but it was like, oh yeah, the intern did it in the meeting and turned it. Yeah.
I don't really know. I do know it's the transition from glass to plastic.
To plastic.
Right. And we started mm-hmm. using more squeezing, if that mm-hmm. makes any sense. Right. But I think again, brilliance, right?
Yeah.
I mean, turn that thing upside down, right?
Turn it upside down.
You'll notice that now, I think, in shampoo and conditioner.
That's right.
Right? You have the same design. The only thing that's different, obviously, is shampoo or conditioner, but how do you give consumers a clue that it's drastically a different product?
Right.
Right? The other one's upside down, which I thought is interesting.
Right.
So
a couple of cool just sort of thoughts there. But it happens too in like we were talking about just trying to think of sort of recent examples of marketing specific things, I think. And so we were talking before we hit the record button about Liquid Death.
Yes.
The brand Liquid Death, which has been a, dare I say, disruptor.
Yeah.
Another good buzzword.
I do like it.
A disruptor in the water space. And the water space is an interesting one, I think, in terms of both just the idea that we packaged water and turned it into a multi-billion-trillion-dollar business.
Yeah, it's weird. And we have worked in the space, too.
We have worked in the space.
We've done bottled water work before.
And so how do you, and as a product in and of itself, you've had pushback, obviously, with plastic.
Environmental concerns,
all kinds of things.
Also, is it just tap water? You know what I mean? Is it literally just tap water?
It is.
You know, but then also going back to environmental concerns, like, oh, are we just taking water from Fiji and then putting it in plastic and transferring it across, you know, the carbon footprint of this specific bottle. And then we get into the evolution of electrolytes and, oh no, this one's got alkaline such and such. And, you know, all sorts of different aspects around just water, which is interesting, right? But I think where you're going with this is, you know, it's healthy, right? It's light. It's airy.
It's clean.
It's clean.
It's less
refreshing.
Pure.
Delicious, pure. Right? But your example, I don't want to steal your thunder here, but your example, right, of liquid death is a great example of of zigging where everybody else is zagging.
It's like the opposite. I mean, Fiji, let's think about the cleanest places on earth, right? And pristine and beautiful. And somebody came along and went, hey, how about liquid death?
Yeah.
Which sounds like the world's most potent energy drink.
Yeah,
or the world's most potent alcohol.
I was about to say, it sounds like a caffeinated sort of
deal. It's like a Four Loko.
Yeah, yeah.
It sounds like that, like you took a Four Loko and made it an energy drink type situation.
And for those that aren't aware, the graphics are very like flaming skulls and all the sorts
of crazy. It's insane.
Right? Yeah, but it's just water.
It's just water. And it's in a dark can. It's all dark and kind of gold and all, you know, unlike the clear plastic bottle that we're all primarily used to.
Yeah.
So I think liquid death, I mean, you can only imagine that. I would say the first hurdle was the naming.
Yeah,
when
for sure.
Whomever came up with it presented the name to the executive team, they probably freaked out.
Yeah, probably.
Or at least some of them freaked out.
And a
few brave souls went, nope, that's exactly what we're doing. That is the perfect zig or zag zig situation.
We know what you're saying. Yeah.
And then,
but that is, I mean, if we're talking about breaking through the clutter, instead of doing another blue or translucent bottle or something that has a health or that's, oh, it's from this natural spring in such and such somewhere. Right. I mean, that is an extreme example, which I think is a great example of definitely breaking through the clutter.
Well, if you think about the concept that water is life.
Yeah.
This is literally the exact opposite of that. It is death.
Yeah, it's 180.
Literally, you couldn't go more 180.
Random question: have you ever drank liquid death?
I have.
I have as well.
You know what it tastes like? It
tastes like water.
It tastes like water.
Yeah.
but fantastic, brilliant. And then I think the idea of, all right, if you're going to do something, if you're going to take a bold risk and something bold. Don't half-ass it.
Yeah.
Like that's when you fail. If you're going to do it, you better lean all the way into it and go for it.
Well, I think it would have been an epic failure if they named the product Liquid Death, but it didn't have the design and brand associated with that name.
Right.
If they chintzed out, or to your point, they kind of halved it, you know, it wouldn't have that same impact and it wouldn't work. Like if you're going to lean in, basically what we're trying to say, I guess, is if you're going to lean into it, you have to lean into it all the way.
Right.
Right.
Trust the process. So and I don't know anything about who did it or the client, but, clearly there was a level of trust, that totally worked.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they're doing really well.
Yeah. Well, it's everywhere. So, I mean, they've got distribution. I'll give them that.
Yep.
So. Any other examples you can think of really breaking through the clutter?
I don't know. I don't know if I'd file this under breaking through the clutter, but I think about the idea of, it's sort of an offshoot, but the idea of being true to who you are.
Okay.
Right? Being true to who you are and to your customer base and all of these things. And what I was thinking about just sort of Burger King in general, and they've throughout the course of history, or at least the course past few decades, whatever, back when Crispin was doing a bunch of work for them and stuff. It was super, super bold work.
Yeah, it was.
So I think from a marketing and advertising standpoint, when you had the king and doing all the crazy, wacky stuff, that was marketing unlike anybody else was doing. But on a deeper level, what they were doing was really staying true to who they are and leaning into what they bring to the table.
Oh, okay.
So you had this path where McDonald's and Wendy's and a lot of the category were starting to move towards healthier offerings.
Yeah, remember the McSalad shaker?
We got salad shakers.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a health play.
And epic
failure. Low calorie thing. Where Burger King said, no. you know what we do? We make Whoppers.
Yeah, yeah.
And the cheesier, the more calories, the better.
Yeah,
the tastier.
Absolutely.
And so I think that's kind of a great example of just being true to who you are.
Well, it's authenticity. It's a great example. Like if you take liquid death as the extreme example, right? 180 degrees of doing the complete polar opposite of what everybody else is doing. I think the Burger King example is a great one of just, 100% authenticity to how you originally started and not trying to hide it. Right.
Right.
I think that, and again, we're kind of cherry picking history a little bit here, but McDonald's trying to go with the McSalad shaker and the healthy alternatives, it was like, well, we want to provide these options to consumers,
right?
Right, because we're getting so much flack about how bad, you know, fast food is for you and, you know, whatever the case may be, right? And it's like, well, people don't go to McDonald's to get salads. Like, you go to salad places to get salads, or you make a salad at home. You know what I mean? Like,
have you ever had a McDonald's salad?
No, I don't think they even offer it anymore. And I never had one back. And, you know, I mean, McDonald's is like the McRib, for crying out loud, right? I mean, that's their big seasonal, you know, you go for some weird... I don't even know if there's meat in that thing,
It's the road trip treat.
Yeah.
That's what that is.
That's the only time you eat McDonald's is when you're in a car on a road trip, right? So it's like the only time I eat Bojangles is in the Carolinas. But that's beside the point.
That's a whole other podcast.
No, but the authenticity of Burger King staying true to, you know what we do? We make flame-grilled burgers.
Yep.
And if you want a flame-grilled burger, come here and get
come
one.
Come see us.
You know? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, that's a good 20-year sort of case study. Now, they do have some, you know, the Impossible Burger is an interesting aspect in terms of they are, you know, everything we're saying about the negative of McDonald's trying to be healthy, they're still taking a meat substitute product and running it through the Burger King advertising venue, right?
But they're running it through, it feels, we'll use the word again, it does feel authentic, even though, yes, it is a, but Impossible Burger in and of itself is a cool brand.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I mean,
it's a great name.
Yeah, for sure.
And a cool brand. And it seems to align with Burger King and their sort of brand identity, I suppose.
For sure.
So it still feels authentic, I think.
Yeah. Well, we've gone through the, you know, and we have experience working on this as well in the past with Morningstar Farm Burgers and things like that, right?
Right.
We can talk about that brand because we don't work on it anymore. But, you know, that the concept of being authentic and being true to yourself, right? The spicy black bean burger, right? Delicious product,
right?
It's not trying to be a fake burger. It's just its own thing.
Right.
You know what I mean? Which I think is interesting in terms of being breaking through the clutter, not trying to be and pretend like you're something else.
Yeah. I'm not a fake burger.
Yeah.
I'm just a different type of burger.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Right. So I believe we had the headline, no meat, all burger on one of our old executions and things. So yeah, I think, you know, it is interesting to think about the concept of what creativity means for any given industry and how far do you swing that pendulum, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes breaking through the clutter, and that's what we're talking about, obviously, it doesn't necessarily have to be the liquid death experience.
Right.
It just has to be, you know, a little bit left or right of center of what everybody else is doing and just to stand out and be authentic and true to yourself, right? And I think to your earlier point, how we started off this little podcast, right, is a lot of people asking to be so different. But then our exercise sometimes is to show them, hey, here's where you are currently. Here's a little step away.
Mm-hmm.
Here's that second step away, you know, and then, oh, here's Crazy Town.
Right.
You know, and we've done a lot of design exploration for clients outside of just conceptual messaging. I think we're both thinking about it from an advertorial or messaging and brand development, but even design executions on here's what your packaging is now. Yeah. Here's what it could be like for a line extension next year. And here's the 10-year outlook, you know, on where this brand could go, that type of thing. Right.
Yep.
So, and then sort of chatting with clients through what those steps look like. Right? Avoiding sharper confusion. I mean, you can't be so wacky and zany just for the sake of wacky and zaniness.
Right.
You know, you can't be just, oh,
that's what I was going to say. You don't act crazy just to act crazy.
Yeah.
There's always a reason and a strategy behind it.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. There's a method to the madness.
There's a method to the madness. But anyway, that's the fun stuff.
Yeah.
So I think that'll bring us to the conclusion of today's podcast, Lucky 13.
Yeah.
And as always, you can find us on the interwebs at mocktheagency.com or all the socials at mocktheagency.
Yeah.
And I'll say it again, feel free to comment and tell us how much you love this podcast others, and drop us a note on ideas or things you'd like for us to talk about. We're happy to
Absolutely.
Happy to do that as well.
All right. Go ahead and play us out, Mr. C.